Friends, this morning I need to let you know that my wife is to be pitied because she lives with me and my children. You see, my wife, she tends to identify more as a type A person. So everything has its place, and everything needs to be in its place, and everything is organized, and everything is clean. I, on the other hand, tend to identify more as a type B. And so although everything has a place, it's not always in its place. Where she's organized, I live in organized chaos. However, if you ask me where something is, I can find it for you, because that's the way this thing up here works in me. But, you know, if my wife could live by herself, and she often prays that she could, her home would be museum-esque, okay? Everything would be in its place, and it would be clean, and it would be shiny. But because she lives with us, things are everywhere. She does the best she can to keep a clean home. And I try. I do what she allows me to do. And one of the things that I'm allowed to do is to dust, because you can't dust wrong, right? Well, you see, the problem is I tend to be a light duster. I take the cloth and I do a swish swish here and a swish swish there. But according to my wife, what I should be doing is doing around it, dusting around it, picking the object up and wiping under it and dusting the object off before I put it back in its place. Well, as I was doing some devotional reading and stuff, I was reading again about how when we become believers, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in within us. Thus, our bodies become the house of the Lord. Amen? And that got me thinking, how clean do we keep the house of the Lord? Are we light dusters, or do we do a deep cleaning? So let me explore that a little bit with you this morning. You know, let's start with the light dusters. The light dusters are those who, you know, they do minimal cleaning, giving minimal effort. The light duster goes to worship once in a while. The light duster reads their Bible occasionally. And the light duster, they pray, but not on a regular basis. The light duster does enough to keep up appearances. And usually that's all it is. And that's what's going on in our gospel text today. The Pharisees, well, they were light dusters, cleaning only to keep up appearances. Matthew 23, 25 through 26 records the fifth of seven woes that Jesus teaches. A woe is a painful statement of rebuke or displeasure. It implies judgment. And at best, a woe is a warning to us. A woe is the opposite of a beatitude, which is a blessing. These seven woes which Jesus pronounced condemn the practices of the Pharisees, who were the experts and teachers of the religious law. This fifth woe, in particular, deals with the issue of hypocrisy, acting like something that you are not. And the Pharisees said that they were faithful, and in public they acted the part. But in their hearts, they were not faithful, and that was proven by Jesus when he exposed their private lifestyles and their false interpretations of the scripture and their arrogant public prayer lives. And they were guilty. They weren't just self-deceiving and, you know, well, they thought they were doing right, but they knew it, and they did it to hold on to the power and the prestige. The Pharisees, by tradition, sat in the seat of Moses as the teacher and interpreter of the teachings of the law, but they were teaching things falsely and misleading the people. This fifth woe gets right at the heart of the problem. The Pharisees, they needed to appear to be righteous and obedient according to their interpretations of the law. They focused on ritual cleanliness, and they had hundreds of cleanliness rituals and laws. If you touched or were touched by a sick person, you were considered unclean. If you were walking down the street and stepped in animal dung, you were unclean. If you were in the midst of your monthly cycle or you gave birth, you were unclean. If you buried a loved one or touched a dead animal or even spoiled food, you were unclean. If you touched or were touched by a sinner, all unclean. And there were different rituals you had to perform in order to be considered clean again, some which took up to 7 days. The Pharisees had all kinds of hand and foot washing rituals, and they were all about appearing physically clean. So Jesus begins with something they're familiar with, the ritual cleansing pertaining to cups and plates. In verse 25, he says, "You Pharisees, you hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish." And then with his next words, he's making it clear that this is not about cups and plates, but this is personal. He says, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside it is full of greed and self-indulgence." Jesus wasn't addressing a physical outward appearance, but rather an inward moral cleansing that needed to take place. This isn't light dusting. Jesus is talking about a deep cleaning. The Pharisees are proof that it was possible to look clean on the outside, but on the inside to be filthy. Did you know that the most profitable form of counterfeiting is done through gold coins? Yeah, what they do is they cut that coin in half through the coin, and then they scoop out a lot of the gold and fill it with some other metal alloy. And then through the technique of bracing, they connect the two halves of the coin back together. So on the outside, the gold coin is completely gold, but on the middle, it's false. And that's what the Pharisees were. They were counterfeit believers. They were counterfeit believers. What Jesus is teaching here is that the root of unrighteousness is found inside of us, not what's on our hands or on our feet. Therefore, it is useless to be so concerned about looking faithful when you truly aren't on the inside. The inside must first be morally clean, and then the outside will be clean as well. Light dusting doesn't cut it. And that brings me to the second way of cleaning, my wife's way. To properly clean, you need to move things around. You need to pick them up. You need to dust around them, dust under them, dust the object, and then put it back where it's supposed to be. But you know, you also need to move other things, like the couch and the recliner and the refrigerator. When you start moving these things, what do you usually find? Dust bunnies? Or worse? You know, if you haven't cleaned behind your refrigerator for a while, it can be a bit embarrassing. In one of our parsonages, we needed to put down a new floor. And so when the guy came to put in the new kitchen floor, we had to pull the refrigerator out. And when we did, we were astonished at what was in under that refrigerator. And not in a good way either. There was one thing, I couldn't even identify what it had been, okay? And all you grinning people, when was the last time you cleaned under your refrigerator? Well, what if someone came into your life, into this house, your life, and started moving things around, moving your habits, moving your hideout, your hangouts, moving around some of your friends? What if they came in and started moving around in your Facebook or on your cell phone? Is there anything in those places that, if it was seen and known by the public, that might be embarrassing? Something you would not want them to see? To properly clean our house, we need to move things around to expose what is hidden. We need to get out the bucket and the brush, and we need to get down on our hands and knees. We need to start scrubbing. And our bucket and our scrubber could be daily prayer. It's daily devotions. It's being part of a small group where you can be accountable. And in a good way, where you can talk openly and trustingly in people, and they can ask you questions and you can honestly answer them, whether it's good or bad. These things help to clean us. But sometimes moving things isn't enough. Sometimes to properly clean means moving things out, throwing them out. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, he's talking to his friend Timothy. He says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for honorable purposes, and others are for dishonorable purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, the dishonorable, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy and useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. This analogy is of a large house that has many cups and plates, and some are of gold and silver. They're the good china, and they're used for serving guests and feeding people and doing good things. But some were cheap. They were of cheap wood and clay, and they were used for dishonorable purposes like spittoons or garbage or taking out the toilet water. Both are vessels, but they're used in totally different ways. It can be the same in our lives as well. If a person gets rid of the dishonorable things in their lives, then they can be used for good things by the king, by the master. But as long as we are dishonorable, as long as we keep things in our lives, we try to hide them, we're not useful for the kingdom and not useful for noble purposes. Friends, sometimes in order for God to use us, we need to throw out the cheap junk. We need to get rid of some things in our lives, get rid of the dishonorable things. And that can be hard. That can be a tough thing. Guys, that's like throwing out that T-shirt. You know, the one where the armpits are ripped out and it no longer really fits anymore, but we don't want to get rid of it. It can be like, ladies, all those shoes in the closet that you haven't worn for at least 3 years. It can be tough because sometimes what needs to be moved or thrown out are the places that we frequent. Sometimes it's the friends in our lives who are toxic to us, toxic to our faith, that tempt us and pull us away from God, get us doing things we shouldn't be doing. And to get rid of those, that is hard work. Maybe you get around the softball or basketball leagues and maybe you start using some language that you normally don't. Maybe you go to a club and you drink or smoke more than you should. Maybe you get on the phone and you gossip about things you shouldn't be talking about. Or maybe you find yourself alone at home with your computer surfing websites that you have no business being on. When we clean, we need to move things, and sometimes we need to throw them out, put them in the trash. But you know, no matter how much you dust or sweep or scrub that floor, there is still that dirt that is in the fabric of your couches and in your curtains. There's still that dirt and dust that's in the air vents and is in the baseboards and in the floorboards that you just can't get rid of. And that's when you have to call in the professionals, right? You call in the professionals who come with all the right equipment and they have all these years of experience and the ability to do a deep clean. Well, in our lives, Jesus is that professional. He has 2,000 years experience and he's the only one in town who has the ability to get us completely clean. In our epistle lesson this morning, Paul was teaching the Hebrews about the cleansing power of this professional Jesus Christ. And he began by explaining the rituals of the Day of Atonement, the day each year in which the high priest would go into the temple and sprinkle the blood of goats and bulls for the for the nation who was unclean, to free them from their debt of sin, a ritual sacrifices. These were signs of obedience and faith, and it made them ceremonially clean before God. Thus, Paul says, if the blood of goats and bulls can cleanse them ceremonially and outwardly, verse 14, how much more then the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleansed our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God, that we may be made noble and used for noble purposes by the Master. You see, the old animal sacrifices could not forgive sins. In Hebrews 10:4, the writer says, these sacrifices are an annual reminder of our sin, because the blood of goats and bulls cannot remove sin. It washed them off, but on the inside, their conscience, their heart, their desires were still there and still filthy. Jesus, however, he can change us. He can change our hearts. He can change our conscience and our desire. He can help us to resist those temptations by changing what's inside of us. How many of you are familiar with the old comic strip Shoo, about the birds? All the characters were birds. Well, my favorite Shoo comic strip has that little skinny bird. I don't remember his name. And he's standing with a hose in his hand, and he's washing his truck. And it says, a real truck is a truck that can be washed with a hose. And then you move to the next column, and it says, on the inside and out. And he's just blowing. He's got the doors open, and he's blowing everything out. I think a real house, clean house, is one that is washed not only on the outside, but it's washed on the inside. And therefore, sometimes we need to pull the roof off of these homes, and we need to allow the healing rain of Jesus Christ, this deluge, just to come in and wash us clean and carry off all the dishonorable things. Jesus is a deep cleanse that penetrates the very inner recesses of our lives. It cleanses our consciousness. And only Jesus can give that kind of cleansing, and he can get rid of any stain. So it doesn't matter what your addiction, what your fault, what your transgression, no matter what it is, nothing is too deep that Jesus can't clean it. Isaiah 1:18 says it better than our psalm this morning. Though our sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. Jesus is the professional cleaner, and he can remove the deepest stains and the deepest dirt. And he's waiting for your call. So what do you say today? We give Jesus a call, and we get our houses cleaned. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the ability to assemble today and to hear your word. Your word's not always easy to hear. It's often convicting, and it should be. But Lord, if we hear it right and our hearts are open to it, then we will turn to you. Lord, we are your temple. We are the house of the Lord. And too often we just do a light dusting so that we can show up on Sunday morning. But if we're honest with ourselves, Lord, we ask that you take the roof off of this home and you cleanse us to the very core, to our floorboards, and make us noble. Make us worthy of the work of the kingdom. Lord, in all things we give you thanks and praise. Amen. And now I invite you to stand and join us in our closing hymn.